If you think of sustainable agriculture as baseball, field to market is the rule book. It gives us a level playing field so that we all know what our end goal is.
Welcome to In the Driver's Seat, a podcast on managing financial risk in your grain operation, brought to you by ABM.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of In the Driver's Seat. Today, we're going to talk about sustainability. Shelby Schweitzer is here once again. How are you, Shelby?
Doug, I am just fantastic. We have a good mix of content, and we've got some fun analogies.
So with that, it starts to feel a little like fall, and I know it's going to change. The heat's going to return. The humidity's going to return. We're going to finish what really feels like a big crop. But then, almost immediately, we're going to start thinking about tillage. We're going to start thinking about crop nutrition. We're going to think about cover crops and all of that stuff. So that gets us to maybe a pretty interesting topic for us to explore today, which is sustainability.
Last year at Farm Progress, we had Michelle French come and join us, and we're having her back here again today, and we're going to dive in a little bit deeper into sustainability, and we're going to talk about one of our programs called Field to Market. So without further ado, Michelle, she is our ADM Corporate Sustainability Manager, and she is also a board member of Field to Market. So Michelle, I won't steal your thunder. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and what this program is.
Sure. Thanks, Shelby. Thanks, Doug, for having me on again. Happy to let you know what's happening in our fun world of sustainable agriculture and field to market. A little bit of background about me. I actually have a degree from the University of Illinois in natural resources and environmental science. I've been at ADM for about 9 years. So I am on the board. As you said, I'm the treasurer. So we have weekly executive committee calls, and we talk about the direction that the program is going and different things that we need to be looking out for. And we advise staff, which it's been a very busy year with racial injustice and COVID, just really trying to see how does this impact field to market and sustainable agriculture and all of the different members of this huge consortium that we have, all the way from growers through the consumer facing brands and the consumers that are buying those products.
The other very important piece of this is the producer. So how would you explain to a producer, what does it mean for them? What do they need to pay attention to, and why?
Yeah, what's really going on for producers, I would say, is just this kind of focus on where the science is leading everyone. We're trying to see how do we make sure that not only we have sustainable practices, you know, we want to make sure that we have crops well into the future, but we want to make sure that farming stays economically viable for our growers. We want to make sure that we are partnering with all of our growers to make sure that they have the best tools available to them. And really what we're finding through all of these various field to market projects is that we have a couple of different practices that are coming to the front. We're really seeing a lot of these projects focus on cover crops or on reduced tillage. We're seeing a lot of focus on some of the edge of field practices, grass waterways. We're starting to see focus on advanced crop rotations, having more than just one crop or two crops in rotation, but really trying to add in a small grain to the mix, adding in the cover crops to fix nitrogen, kind of all coming together. And the reason that those seem to be out at the forefront is that we're seeing that it doesn't just tick one box. It's not just better for the soil or reducing runoff or sequestering carbon. We're seeing that it checks all of the boxes. So by doing one or two of these practices, you not only hit those environmental components that we're focusing on, but we're also starting to get some really good feedback as we work with our growers that they're starting to see increases in yields. They're starting to see increases in resiliency. We had one of our growers who told us that he was very pleased because after a really wet spring, he was able to get into the fields a couple weeks before his neighbor. And he said that he attributed that to the soil health improvements that he's seen over the last 3 years doing these cover crop programs. So that's very exciting that it's not only something that the consumers want and that the brands and the aggregators and processors want, but something that can also be beneficial for the growers, you know, their economics changing on the farm for the better.
And so bottom line, I mean, is just preserving and improving the soil health, right? So I was doing a little bit of research before we hopped on here, and I was looking up cover crops. And for all my social media gurus out there, I found a hashtag, and it was hashtag don't farm naked, which I thought was super funny. So Michelle, if you want to maybe talk a little bit about that and what that means, please do so.
Absolutely. I love that hashtag, don't farm naked. So one of the things that we're really focusing on is when the soil is exposed. So after harvest, if everything is tilled under, there's no cover crop, there's no residue in the field, you get a windstorm, or as we start to see these wetter, rainier Decembers, and all of your topsoil is just running off into the streams, you know, that's just money down the drain. We need to make sure that everything that we have in the field, whether it's the soil itself or that we've applied into the field, thinking, you know, nitrogen, or if you put in phosphorus, you want to keep that in the field. You don't want it in the river waste, but more importantly, you don't want to waste that asset that you've purchased to use in your field. Putting a cover crop on or leaving residue in place is kind of like putting speed bumps for the water as it drains off. You want to make sure that, you know, you've got something that's going to slow that down, that's going to keep that soil in place. And then as that soil is able to stay in place, you start to see soil communities rebounding. They're better able to hold nitrogen. They're better able to make that nitrogen available in a format that the plants can uptake it through the roots.
I really liked your analogy. I picked it out of what you just said, but cover crops being a speed bump, right? Slowing stuff down. And earlier when we were kind of chit-chatting, you mentioned a baseball analogy for sustainability. So if you don't mind, can you fill the listeners in on that for us?
Sure. We get a lot of questions on what really is field to market. You know, is field to market a sustainable ag program? Is it, you know, just a think tank? Is it just a set of rules? Is it a certification program? What, when you boil it down, bottom line, what is it? And so I like to tell people that field to market, if you think of sustainable agriculture as baseball, field to market is the rule book. Field to market gives us the metrics and the calculations that we're going to use to do the data analysis and make sure that we're speaking all the same language. So it doesn't matter if you go to see the St. Louis Cardinals. It doesn't matter if you go to Detroit to watch a game. It doesn't matter if you're in Chicago. Everybody plays baseball by the same rules. And that's what field to market gives us. It gives us a level playing field so that we all know what our end goal is. That being said, every field to market project has different goals that they're focusing on. So some projects may focus on cover crops, others might focus on tillage. Some are in the very beginning phases and are just doing data collection to try to assess what are the normal practices in that area. Until we have a baseline, it's really hard to know which direction we need to go. But if we had everybody measuring using a different system, different set of rules, we would never be able to compare apples to apples. So when we look at sustainable agriculture as baseball, field to market is the rule book, and that helps to guide us, make sure we get everybody where we need to go. And then we start really having fun planning out the projects and programs and finding different growers who want to try new things.
That analogy helped me quite a bit. So I appreciate you sharing that with me. I'm going to ask you one more thing that I think our audience, the producers out there, may very much be interested in as well. We talk about consumer pressure. So in the most basic, simple terms, what do we mean when we talk about consumer pressure? What is that? Where does that come from? How would you explain what consumer pressure is to our listeners?
I actually just heard a very interesting term from one of our marketing colleagues, and she said that they're starting to use a term called a buycott instead of a boycott, where consumers are actually using their buying power to influence consumer-facing brands into what they want to see. So either they will not buy something that they don't feel good about, or they will buy more of what they're looking for, sending very strong marketing signals. And that's where we're starting to really see that we have a lot of consumers who are looking at labels. They're looking for clean labels. They're looking to know the sourcing history, some of the ingredients in their products. Some of our consumers are focused on organic or non-GMO. Some of them are focused on sustainable agriculture. Some of them are focused on farming practices. So really what they're focusing on runs a pretty vast array of different topics. But what we're seeing through all of it is that they're really using their buying power to send very strong signals on what they expect from brands and retailers to have in their stores.
Could you give us just an example or two of programs that are in place today that we're involved with that gives a good example of consumer demand going back to companies who recognize that, asking ADM for their assistance and getting producers involved so our listeners can really connect the dots?
I have a couple of examples that I'd love to tell you about. One of them is a program that we're doing in Iowa with Unilever. So the Unilever Hellmann's mayonnaise brand is very focused on the consumer trends and consumer drivers. And one of the things that they have committed to is 100% sustainably sourced soybean oil for their Hellmann's brand. And so we have been working together since 2012 to understand farming practices in and around our Des Moines soybean crush facility. We now have expanded that to almost the entire state of Iowa. After spending a couple of years really in a data collection phase, trying to assess what are the current practices, the current trends, we've now switched over and partnered with Practical Farmers of Iowa to convert this big program into a cover crop cost share program. It's an interesting program where we are actively recruiting farmers in Iowa who are growing soy and delivering to ADM Des Moines. And some specifics in case we have any listeners who are in Iowa and are growing soy and thinking, hey, I deliver to ADM. If you are interested in cover crops, we have a cover crop cost share available that is $10 an acre up to 160 acres or 10% of your total farmed acres, whichever is larger. And then if there are farmers who have never tried cover crops, there's a separate cost share program that's called 40 by 40, where you can actually receive $40 an acre up to 40 acres just to give it a try, kind of dip a toe in the water, feel it out, see if you actually like cover crops and want to move forward with that. And we've really had a good partnership with Practical Farmers of Iowa. Not only are they a great boots on the ground kind of partner, but they have some really great people who know a lot about cover crops. And one of the things that we learned up front is everybody can talk about cover crops, or you can use your fun hashtag, don't farm naked, but that doesn't tell you how to grow a cover crop. So we're finding that this education component is very important. And the knowledge that PFI brings to the project has been amazing. They can tell you what type of cover crop works best for your area, for what you're wanting to do, you know, whether you should fly it on, whether you should use a winter kill or have a kill stage type of cover crop. They really have a lot of information and a lot of educational offerings alongside the cover crop cost share. And they have a really great peer-to-peer network as well, where they try to hook up the participating growers with each other to kind of share successes or things that have been learned. If you happen to be in Iowa growing soy and delivering to ADM, reach out to your ADM representative there and tell them you are interested in the cover crop program.
That is good information. I'm learning a lot from just you explaining this stuff. I didn't know there was so much to learn about cover crops. I know one other project we have going is with PepsiCo. Can you explain that one to our listeners?
The PepsiCo project is a little bit different in that it's focused on corn and it's in Illinois. So we're really looking for corn growers who are delivering to our Decatur, Illinois facility or one of the ADM elevators that supports the Decatur facility. And with that one, the cover crop cost share is $10 an acre up to 150 acres. We're working with a different group in Illinois. It's called Precision Conservation Management, and they are providing some of the data analysis and the insight and educational support for the cover crops and the planting there. We've got a couple of different programs going with PepsiCo, but that's the one that really comes to the top of the mind right now. We have a wheat program with them up in the Mendota, Illinois area as well. I believe they've already met their goals for 2020 on that program, but I know we're still taking growers who are interested for the corn program in the Decatur area. And if anybody is interested, reach out to your ADM representative, or if you are already familiar with Precision Conservation Management or PCM, you can reach out to your PCM contact or Travis Deppy at PCM.
So three great examples, Michelle. Really, really good ones. And I guess I kind of envision this as a two-way street, right? So these projects help ADM meet our sustainability goals, but also these projects help growers. So are you able to elaborate on that for me a little bit?
Sure. So on the ADM goals side of things, we have goals to reduce the carbon emissions in our supply chain. And we are also working with Ceres and World Wildlife Fund on their Ag Water Challenge, trying to reduce water runoff into the waterways of the U.S. So all of these projects, specifically cover crops and reduced tillage, help ADM work toward those goals. On the grower side, when we start looking at these different practices, what we are seeing both anecdotally and then some with the science, depending on the data platform we're using, is that our growers are seeing improved soil health. The carbon content of the soil is increasing. They're seeing some resiliency. We have some of our growers who are seeing yield increases. We have some who are able to use less nitrogen because of the cover crop that they're using. We have a couple of different parameters that we are focusing on. And of course, we love talking with our growers and we love hearing their success stories. And especially if we are able to find these sustainable ag practices that seem to be a win-win-win. They work for ADM and for consumer brands to meet our goals. And then they ultimately work for the growers to increase profitability, resiliency, and are economically viable.
Besides talking to their ADM representative, what is the best way for producers to stay current with trends and what is going on relative to sustainability and programs that might be going on around the country? Any good go-to spots that you would recommend for a producer looking to learn more?
Well, the Field to Market website is a great resource. You can find that at fieldtomarket.org. They have a map of all of the current projects that are out there. So if you wanted to look for something in a specific geography, or you can sort by crop type, that'll give you an idea of what's happening in the area. So you may get lucky and find out that there's a tillage program and a cover crop program, and then you can take your pick. Or if there's nothing in the area, again, reaching out to an ADM representative. We can always take emails at sustainability@adm.com. If you are curious if we're running a project in your area or have suggestions for types of projects, that email is monitored and we would love to hear from you.
Great discussion again, Michelle. I learn more each time. As Michelle's mentioned, please reach out to an ADM representative if you're curious about any current or future programs that we are planning relative to sustainability.
Agreed. This was a great conversation, and I absolutely love the analogies you gave, and I love the hashtag. So definitely let us know what you listeners think, please feel free to go to the website admadvantage.com. And of course, if you're interested in any of these programs and more, please go to fieldtomarket.org.
As always, send your questions in after this podcast for any of our podcasts. Go to admadvantage.com/podcast. We appreciate your input, your feedback. We're trying to make sure we cover what you want, how you want, and give some good information back to you. And if you haven't already, remember the hashtag
Don't Farm Naked.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening again. We appreciate it. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Shelby. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of In the Driver's Seat. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
This has been In the Driver's Seat, brought to you by ABM. To learn more about managing financial risk in your grain operation, talk to your local ABM representative or go to admadvantage.com.